Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Pony Developer Sync meeting for December 17th, 2019. We can discuss later, but this may be the last sync of the decade, unless you're one of those people who wants to tell me that the decade doesn't actually end until the end of next year, in which case, just shut it.
No.
So, yeah, anyway. Everybody who's here, can you introduce yourselves? And I guess if you really want to, give some sort of opinion about what a decade is.
Hi, Sean. My opinion is that decades start on the one, not the zero.
Hi, I'm Joe. My opinion is something clever and thought-provoking.
Hi, I'm Carl. I don't have an opinion on decades.
Hi, I'm Matthias. I'm indifferent about decades since at least a decade.
I'm Gordon and I don't care.
All right. I guess it's just Sean and me arguing.
But it's the only decade since start of decades that has pony. Just saying.
Good point. Very good point. So it is by definition the most important decade. Okay. Let's jump right into it. You may not notice too much of a change, but I am using a new and updated version of my Pony Sync helper to get the items that we want. I've incorporated some of Sean's feedback. So we've got alphabetical listing of repos and
it is just awesome. I love it.
And it also actually correctly works with multiple page results from the GitHub API, because I finally took the time to figure out how to correctly use the regular expression package. Regular expressions, they're great. Okay, so let's start with RFCs. We have one PR, 155, Pony RT options passing. Excuse me, I'm gonna be coughing a little bit here. I'll try to keep that to a minimum. Pony runtime tweaks through arguments. So
we had a couple comments. If folks could read Redverse stuff, that's __red__ on Zulip. I don't know how to ask at this point the question, but like their second one of visibility of the options would be good for log files, so we can see in logs if end users alter any of the runtime values. I don't really know what it is that they're imagining, like when you would have a log file where you don't know what somebody was using as option. It's unclear to me what they're thinking about. My interpretation of it is that it's unrelated to this RFC in the end, but if anybody can clue me in a bit more, maybe it is related, but at the moment it seems like it's related, but it's tangential and not directly applicable to the RFC.
Okay.
Yeah, I do agree. Best be discussed in a different issue.
Yeah. So would you? This is basically like we want to more easily expose the number of runtime options, right? Yeah. As compared to, at least the way it's phrased, and this is why I wasn't sure, was we want to know if they are overridden, which could mean something different, but I was assuming that it doesn't mean something different. They were just thinking that this is about exposing these options, some of which are already exposed, others of which could be fairly easily exposed. But yeah, okay.
Okay, so take a look at that and give feedback.
Yeah, technically we are at the end of what would normally be our standard time for a final comment period. But at this point, there's a couple tweaks and changes that we're waiting on from Alex. So I would say until Alex makes those changes, we just leave it in final comment period.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. Okay. That's it for RFCs. So moving on. Pony C, we have 5 PRs. First one is 3425, try to get ARM cross-compile working.
Ignore that.
Okay. Rendered LLVM. 3419, ensure non-blocking process wait and correct.
This is also not ready yet, so... Okay.
Ignore it. Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
All right. 3413. Small steps toward enabling dash W assign conversion in some submodules.
Oh, looks like Joe, is this ready for emergent?
Sorry, let me take a look.
You approved, so...
Yes, then.
Okay. I will squash it then.
Looks like it's been changed since...
Yeah, I was going to say, is that... Do we want to do that?
Okay.
I don't understand, because it says 3 commits, 17... This is the... Force push run with GitHub. Making it hard to see that. But yeah, it looks like my one comment was addressed. So yes, we can go ahead.
Okay. Yay. Okay. 3320, work in progress, compiling LLVM 9.0.0.
M Shockwave thought we had a fix for it, but it turned out to be not a false alarm.
So I don't think the thing which is a problem, I don't think is a problem, and I think we should open an issue for it and disable the failing test. It's my opinion after looking at it and talking to Gordon, and I think Gordon agrees, unless I misunderstood him, that this is only a problem in the test harness. This is not a real-world problem. It's a problem specifically with the JIT, which we're only using right now to run these tests. And it's specifically a problem related to the C++ exception handling stuff. And the JIT, and if the JIT gets run, it runs a number of programs during a particular session, which only happens with our tests. There's no actual practical real world Pony application that's going to be impacted by this at this point in time, because we're not using the JIT for anything else. Would you agree with those statements?
The test suite that fails periodically, or would you expect to pass?
Okay, so the individual test by itself will pass if you run it on its own, all right? The individual test, you can run it with any combination of other tests which execute the run program test. You can execute it with up to X number of them. And so long as the number of times that you run some other program, some other JITted program before this one is low enough, you will not encounter the error. It's something to do with C++, LLVM 9, and the JIT implementation. Like, if you do not use, it appears, if you do not statically link C++, this is what M. Shockwave found, then the problem, along with one other small LLVM fix, goes away. There's an LLVM bug, which might be related to this, which has been open for 4 years. And we do not run this particular test on Windows, and we did not run it prior to LLVM either 3.8 or 3.9, because it also there's also LLVM bugs there that impact on it.
So, yeah, I agree with Sean. I think we can just disable the test and try and fix it later.
Yeah, open an issue for it because, well, this test is already disabled in some scenarios, so there's something here. But, like, M. Shockwave was looking at it for a month. Gordon's been looking at it for an extended period of time. I spent probably 8 to 12 hours on it, you know, over the weekend as well of looking at it to come to the, yeah, this, I can't find a way to make this, this is a sign of a real bug. And this is a problem in our test harness right now. But before we would ever want to actually start using a JIT within Pony programs, we would need to fix it.
Okay, so is your proposal to open an issue for removing the test?
My proposal is that we turn off the test it can still be on for its range of stuff, which is non-Windows and basically LLVM 4 to LLVM 7, I guess. And then it's off. It would run. Otherwise, it's off, and we have an issue open to figuring out why it fails with LLVM 9, and if we would ever be able to turn it on, for that matter, for Windows as well.
Okay.
While we're on this, Gordon, while I was exploring this bug, my understanding from looking at bugs that are probably here likely is that we would be unable at this point in time to turn the JIT on for Pony on Windows because of this bug for any actual real production code, which might use C++ code that would throw an exception. Is that your understanding from looking at the referenced LLVM bug?
Yeah, I haven't looked at the bug, and we haven't tried this test on Windows for many LLVM versions, so I don't know. If it's
okay.
A problem or
so
not.
We should open an issue to check that out as well then.
Yeah.
Also, oh my God, they just change that freaking JIT implementation of the API constantly, don't they?
Yeah, they change it every version. And
yeah.
That's why the genjit.cc file is such a maze of twisty little passages.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Can somebody leave a comment in this issue? Then?
So, and if we all agree to that, that would mean then that we have LLVM 9 support because everything else is done. Party.
Yay.
Right, Gordon?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll just try and clean up the PR and then.
Can you, as part of the PR, can you switch the default vendor to LLVM over to 9 so that it'll run the test with that? We can make sure that everything passed across all the platforms for that. And if it does, then we could merge it and we're on to LLVM 9.
Yeah, I can do that.
Cool.
And
I have to say though, the 8 to 12 hours I spent looking at this was a lot of fun, and I learned some new things about new areas of LLVM.
Well, hooray for learning new stuff!
For some values of fun.
Yeah, it was fun for me because I wasn't the one who pulled it all the way up to that point, Gordon. If I had been in your position of having pulled it all the way up there, I think the words I would have used would be like frustrated.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for getting that along to LLVM9.
There's an old Mr. T experience song that it sounded like you were quoting there for a second, Sean. Anyway, flashbacks. Okay, 3234, build Pony C using CMake.
Okay, so this is now on all platforms, and I just have to clean up the PR and get it integrated into CI. Which
does all platforms include the cross compilation stuff with the patch they sent from a Dipin you thought would work?
You're right, it does not, so I have to get that working as well.
Okay. Hopefully that's pretty straightforward. If you apply it on that branch, let me know when you apply the patch and you're ready. And if you run into any issues where it's not working, let me know and I can take a look at it as well.
Cool.
But you know, I was trying to get it where I was like, oh, hey, okay, this should probably do the trick. But I was like, oh, well, then if this is going to, then yeah, okay. Sorry, I think that devolved into not English. Apply the patch. If you run into issues, let me know and I'll try to help out there.
Cool. So I just need to find a few hours where I can actually clean it all up.
How about the 25th? I hear everybody has that off.
Yeah, my two kids. Well, they might be playing video games, so.
It sounds like something that you could do something about. By buying your kids video games. Sorry, anyway. Moving on.
I had an I'm so old moment for a minute there. Anyway, I'll tell you about it after we're done recording.
Okay. All right. So that's it for PRs on Pony C. We have 13 issues. 3426, readlink-e unsupported in Alpine.
Yeah, I opened this. And in particular, so that I could ping Gordon on it, and we could think about this with the switch to CMake, Gordon, right? We have a lot of stuff in our make files where it's like, oh, hey, let's check to see which platform we're running on. And if it's BSD, then we should make sure that we call gReadLink rather than readlink. And we're like, you need to be using this or that. And you know, the tried and true method on this is, you know, with a make based system is, you know, having a configure script, which I think we're basically at the point with an awful lot of these things where, we really should have something which does something like that. And I wanted to talk to you, and we could do it rather than here, we could do it on that issue about how would we make this, what would something like this look like that could work for Windows, Linux, BSD, you know, including OS X, with the CMake stuff that you've been doing?
Well, yeah, in theory, this is what CMake is for.
Yeah, because like, on this one, for example, the Pony make file doesn't work on Alpine unless you install a very specific package, which happens to install GNU readlink instead of using the BusyBox readlink. And, you know, I got that as an error when I was doing something else. And I'm like, what is this error that just went flying by? Is that problematic? And, you know, if I wasn't me who knows what we're doing really well, then, you know, if I was somebody who's coming in, I could very easily stumble across this. And it turns out it's not even a package that, like, it turns out it's not problematic and it doesn't break it, but it's also not a package that we tell anybody to install. for Alpi. So, yeah, I think rather than taking up time now, maybe anybody who's interested, we could discuss like what should the solution for something like this be, and just broader in general as well on that, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good to me. Okay. Let's see here. 3424 TCP connection closed discards outgoing messages.
I relabeled that because that's not true.
It was unclear what happens to late arriving data.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are a couple of issues related to this one. One, so what Red was doing was he had a TCP connection, and he would call con write twice in his accepted method, and then he would call con close. And he was expecting the data to be sent because close says it's graceful. The issue being, in this particular case, is that write, both of those write calls are asynchronous and will result in messages being queued to the connection, whereas close is not asynchronous and will result in the message and will result in the connection being closed. So there's nothing, first of all, in the documentation for close that says that messages that arrive after close is called will be discarded, which probably could have helped him out there, because in his mind, gracefully meant, well, you know, I did the right call beforehand. But I think this speaks to a larger issue where anything that we have, which has a notifier, which is using the notify pattern, like TCP connection, it can be kind of confusing to have to be mixing asynchronous and synchronous calls in there, and I didn't even realize what was going on with his at first, you know, and I've used that API a ton, and that providing for everything like write or any of these things which are asynchronous calls, providing both a I'm going to call it public, that is usable outside the actor, asynchronous write interface, and then having that forward along to a internal synchronous call. So if you call write, it would then immediately forward along to some sort of internal write call, and you could do these from within a notifier using the synchronous ones, and making sure we do that across notifiers, I think, would be a good idea, because, you know, there's no way to tell when you look at con.write and then con.close. It's, you know, there's no way to know that one of those is asynchronous and one of those is synchronous.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this problem. I mean, I've run into this before. I've been thinking a little bit about it. So the one approach that we could take, you know, without any need for, you know, additional language support, like, is what you described, right? We and you know, the design pattern that I've kind of, I think I used this one. I'm not sure what example it was, but some piece of code I wrote a while back, you know, I wrote, you know, for in this example, I would have had, you know, like a behavior called write, and then a function, you know, a fun ref called write underscore now, and then just sort of like having a bunch of methods with underscore now for the synchronous version, and the behavior always forwards the same, you know, to the function that has the same name with an underscore now after it, and that's kind of, I consider that to be like a reasonable design pattern for the language that we have now. One idea that's been rolling around my head that I just kind of want to throw out there is the idea of having a slightly different syntax for an asynchronous call, so that a message send would look syntactically different from a synchronous call in the same way that a partial method looks syntactically different from a not partial one, right? We have the exclamation, or the question mark on the end of the partial method. So I guess what I'm, in my head, I've been using tilde. I mean, right now we already use that for partial application, but you know, the idea being like, instead of saying con dot write, like imagine that tilde is free for a second and say, we say, you know, con tilde write every time you want to do a message send. Then it's like, it's clear to the reader that what's happening is asynchronous. And the other thing that allows us to, that would allow us to do is open up the possibility of just treating behaviors as if they were normal fun ref methods. And you could asynchronously call any fun ref that was, I mean, first of all, you'd obey the normal public private rules for underscore versus not underscore, but you could asynchronously call any fun ref for which all of the arguments that you were passing are sendable. And, you know, where you're either, whether either there is no return value or you're not using the return value, then you could just toss a message across to an actor and we would, you know, the compiler would interpret that as being a message send that just calls that fun ref. It would potentially remove the different syntax for behaviors versus fun ref, and also allow for this case where you say I have this method. It could be called in an asynchronous way or it could be called in a synchronous way, but it's the same method. And whether you're calling it synchronously or asynchronously is decided by the caller. But obviously they can only call it synchronously if they're holding a ref reference. You know, they couldn't do it with a tag. So that's a general idea that's been poking around my head for a while. And I feel I'm feel inclined toward it, but I'm curious what others think about that.
I'm out of breath from silently cheering everything you said so much, Joe. I didn't actually like my solution for the design pattern thing. I think it's awful. I don't want to comment on every single particular of what you said, but I think removing the distinction between B and fun and having it be that there being a distinct call thing to call something asynchronously rather than synchronously and working through those rules, right? Of which you went through, and those are basically in line with what I was thinking, but I think we'd want to sit down and work through them more. I think that would be a very good idea. I also think it would help onboarding people easier, and I don't, at least at this point in time, I don't see a downside to this other than it breaks existing code bases.
I'm just understanding question. So in case of calling funds asynchronously, we just suddenly discard the return value, or is it implicit sending it back to the caller or packets?
Sorry, I didn't hear all the question.
The question was, if you call a fun which has a return type, are you implicitly throwing away the return value, or does it somehow send it back? My assumption would be is that it's just discarded because it's asynchronous and you can't get a return value.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. In my ideal world, we'd also have some kind of syntax sugar for like some kind of promise based or, you know, other like making promises nicer to work with sort of thing. Whether that's like await or something along, you know, something very different from that. Like, but yeah, I would address the issue of getting that return value back with a different feature, or just with existing patterns of passing in a promise.
So, I would be very much in favor of make the distinction that, so now we have the distinction on the definition side and additionally have it on the call site. Maybe at an exclamation mark or something, or the tilde or whatever. I assume, just an assumption, that it might lead to more confusion if you can call stuff differently. But I'm happy to be proven wrong.
I'm sorry, you lost me at the end there, Matthias.
Sure. I would be in favor of keeping the definition site differentiation between behaviors and function calls.
Why? Yes.
Because it's making clear that this can this is ever going to be called asynchronously.
I that seems like we've just made the problem worse in that case. Like if we now have if I now have to call a behavior with a, I mean, I guess it clears up at the call side. I know, I can see con.write. It must be calling a behavior because it's not using the dot syntax. It's using something else. But then I would still now also need to do, like, I need to have write and right now, for example, in order to be able to do this, or like everything needs to be done through
So if you it would be something like you have B and you have fun, and then you have something like be fun, which would implement both sort of automatically without you having to do it. I would still just lean towards saying we only have fun, because who doesn't like fun?
Just a small technical thing. Would we need in code gen time? Would we need to create all these dispatch functions and all this for each function we define on an actor? Or is it? Would it be done on only if called?
Well, we already, everything in CodeGen is already guarded by reachability. So we already don't generate functions or dispatch functions for anything that wasn't referenced or could be indirectly referenced through an interface. I think it wouldn't take additional work to say that this is guarded by reachability. I mean, obviously, it takes additional work to do some of this automatic stuff. Obviously, this feature in general takes additional work, but I think the reachability thing isn't much of a concern because that's already sort of baked into the way we do code gen. Is we only code gen for things that are reachable in the program.
So I generally like this approach. I think I would have to kind of see something or use it to make an actual statement about liking it or not. I think it's a good idea. So I'm also leaning towards it, what you described as having funds and have different ways to call them.
Yeah, the one possible challenge with this that might, I don't know, we might have to investigate more, is the current practice of using fun tag as a way to mimic an asynchronous call, right? So you have if you have an interface or a trait that has a behavior on it, then to mimic that currently, you know, people would do fun tag, like fun tag is synonymous with B.
I don't think you would need that anymore, would you? You wouldn't use that pattern anymore. They're probably the only place where fun tag should really matter is to something you want to be able to call from inside a constructor.
Yeah.
Because the only reason why we use fun tag on those interfaces is so that I can do this on a thing I could call a behavior, or I could do this non-read, non-write thing via the interface as well on a thing which isn't an actor.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'm generally agreed that it's probably not a problem, but it's still something that's kind of like lurking in the darkness.
It's definitely something to keep an eye on. But my initial thought is actually this should make that go away and make it that easier. Hopefully that entire pattern would just go away.
Cool. Well,
it's not a huge number of people, but it's also a non-zero number of people who come in with beginner questions of how do I send a message from one actor to another, where they don't realize that a behavior it just hasn't occurred to them. It's like, okay, a behavior is asynchronous, but they don't realize that this results in a message send. These are almost always people coming from like an Erlang background, right? Or maybe Akka. That even just having that different syntax for doing this asynchronously might help with those folks as well.
Right, because yeah, Erlang and Elixir, I know, definitely have that separate syntax.
Yeah.
For a send. And Akka probably does too. I'm not too familiar with that. Okay.
I would say this definitely would have to go through an RFC. I think we all agree on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a major break.
Definitely.
Yeah. Just stating it so that it's not implicit. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just sort of putting this in my big bucket of ideas about changes.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have time over the holidays to write up an RFC for this. And then you could add on to it, Joe.
Yeah, I can try to help that. I would love to take tilde away from partial application.
I'm not a big fan of taking tilde away because that just makes it even harder to convert an existing code base over. That can be something we discuss in an RFC.
Okay.
All right. So RFC it up. All right. 3413, small steps toward enabling, or wait, yeah, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Sorry. 3423, release Pony 0.33.2. It's a note for you, Sean. Target release date is for
not just me. Anybody can do it. The new release process stuff, which will change next time we do, next when we have some more stuff in there. But the release process is way simpler now than it used to be. It's much quicker as well. Until the next time I touch this, other people should be able to do this, not just me. Now, before February, it's entirely possible that I'm going to touch this again there to simplify it and make it easier still. But yeah, this is definitely at a place where we have so few moving parts now that almost anybody should be able to. As long as they are a Pony committer, they should be able to do a release.
Yep.
Without running into all sorts of bizarre weirdness. And there's a GitHub action which I'm planning on integrating sometime in the coming future, which will remove the manual steps that are needed for doing the homebrew release, which would be really nice.
Yep. Exciting stuff.
Whee!
All right. right. 3418, looks like Sean, you have renamed this to array insert documentation. Is misleading with respect to out of bounds and X raises an error. Looks like the last comment on this was actually a week ago.
Yeah, it's on my plate. Sorry.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So working on that. All right. 3417. This looks like a last done about a week, updated about a week ago too. returns in object literals and constructors get failed by the compiler. So you were gonna check that out?
Yes. Okay. Sorry, this week was crazy.
Sorry, that was not me trying to guilt you. It's just
No.
All right. 3416 cannot consume a local and else block whose try block is the local is consumed after any possible error. Yeah, it's a mouthful. Yeah, this is another one we had a comment on last week, so I don't
think we discussed that at last week's sync. Nothing new since then.
Yeah. 3410, which is overhaul README installation instructions.
Nothing since last week.
Yeah. 3402.
We discussed that already. I just updated. I updated the issue earlier to note what was then said later.
Yeah, that's for those listening. That's Git cross compilation CI job set up with vendor LLVM. 3126 LLVM 391 optimization pass crash on merge successive reallocations of the same variable. What a mouthful. 't look like anything's happened since last week there.
No, there has.
Oh, there has? Oh.
I'm updating the title. LLVM, it's LLVM optimization pass crash and merge successive reallocations of the same variable. It is not tied to 391. I asked one of the people who had reported previously if they were able to recreate it with the latest version with LLVM 7.1, and they were. So the last comment had been, it looks like this was a bug in earlier versions of LLVM. I'm tempted to say we shouldn't bother investigating until then, which is not the case. This is still the ongoing issue, it looks like, with 7.1.
Got it. Okay. 1837, use LLD for linking. It looks like, Sean, you asked Sebastian if he had any update. And that was in response to his comment from 6 months ago. So,
yes, any time that I have to do stuff related to releases and builds and all of that, I start getting irritated about the fact that we have to have external C compiler in order to do linking. And so, as you can tell, I must have had that.
Yeah.
Come up recently because I went back to this and was like, wonder what's happening. Let me see if Sebastian did anything.
Okay. issue 1666, the issue of the beast. Load combined Darwin LLVM bug. This is an old issue. A few days ago, Sean, you asked if someone could test with Mac OS from Homebrew and verify that this is no longer an issue and can be closed.
So load combine is, according to Petronas, is gone from LLVM 5, but this still fails with LLVM 7 and 8. So I'm guessing that test fails with, I'm not sure how he could get a failure for this.
You want to?
With 7 and 8? Well,
first of all, he's using Mac ports. Is that, should that be a separate?
I don't.
Relabel?
If load combine is indeed gone from LVM 5, then it would be weird that this can fail. Someone should check the specific implementation with Mac ports and.
Hey, while Sean is writing that out, we are getting close to 2 o'clock. We don't have a lot of issues left, but does anybody have a problem if we go a few minutes over? If you have a problem, speak now. Otherwise, I'll keep plowing through.
So I basically left a message on this, is that if this is indeed gone as of there, then there should be no way for this bug, for this to fail, right? And so somebody should look into specifically with Mac ports what's happening with this, because it doesn't fail. We don't have something that's failing elsewhere. So yeah, and that's good for that as far as I'm concerned.
I just added a comment to the LLVM commit that removed
NAS.
2nd, 2017.
Okay.
I was just curious to make sure it was actually gone. It is.
So, in theory, Mac ports can't fail.
Yeah. I mean, my guess is maybe it's like a failure of the same test, but with it actually a different cause.
Well, so we until recently, we were using Mac ports to build with LLVM 7. He didn't specifically say he was using 7, right? He didn't test with 7. So we were using Mac ports for all of our OS X testing for LLVM 7 for like a long time, several months. So if it's Mac ports, I wouldn't say, I don't think it's Mac ports, but whatever the environment is that he says he's testing this in, we would need to try and replicate that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see if we can get a little more information.
Yeah.
Okay. 1146, seg fault related to tuples not carrying type description.
Yeah, that's an old one. The example code no longer compiled due to it being opened so long ago, and the partial function call site change wasn't there. So I just dropped an updated version of the code that would compile with the latest version of the compiler.
Yep. Okay. That's good.
To make life easier for anybody else who comes along.
What a nice thing of you to do. Thank you, Sean. Okay, and issue 1118, a segmentation fault when actor receives a reference to itself via a class created in a different actor.
This still happens. I provided an update.
Okay, awesome. All right, that's it for Pony C issues. Let's see here. We have two issues in NetSSL.
Those are old. Those were SSL related issues that were on the Pony C repo that I found when I was looking through for other stuff and moved over to NetSSL where they should live now.
Okay, those are issues 25 and 24. 25 is SSL connection ignores notify receive value. 24 is allow setting SSL certificate from memory. All right. Pony tutorial. Add runtime basics to the tutorial. This is an ongoing conversation about what kinds of fun things to add to this. Yep.
And Ryan came in and asked if there were things that people could point him to that he could use as material. So Eric pointed him to the some stuff that's in the runtime stream on Zulip. I pointed him to the Orca paper and Andy, your bug that you did on Pony Garbage Collection.
Okay. Cool.
He was asking for stuff around quiescence and other stuff as well. I don't know if there is stuff. There's probably stuff in the Zulip. If anybody else wants to jump on, give him pointers to stuff that they know of that would be good to help him write the stuff, that would be great.
Cool. Okay. And finally, Last Week in Pony. So, Last Week in Pony. It is there for December 22nd.
Indeed.
And if you look at Last Week in Pony, you will see that Sean will be giving a talk about Pony, or about,
at Paper Deny Pony. Capabilities.
Deny Capabilities for Safe, Fast Actors at Papers We Love in New York City. So if you know anybody in New York City who might be interested, you should encourage them to go. All right, that's it. So as far as the next 2 weeks go, I guess we've already declared that there will not be syncs for next week and the week after because of, was that Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve?
Yep. So,
and
I went ahead and preemptively canceled them this year because we weren't doing that the past 2 or 3 years and they ended up getting canceled anyway.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. So this is our last sync of the year, and depending on how you count it, the last sync of the decade. Thank you everybody for all of your help and support and participation, and we will see everyone in the new year. Thanks.